Tonight we continue some thoughts we began last night, and we come to the subject of silence forbids. And I'd like to ask you to listen to these eight questions and ponder them, and I would like to encourage you to take out a piece of paper and answer two of them on a piece of paper so you can't change your answer when we get to it in the lesson. So if you're so disposed to write down your answer, I'd encourage you to get a piece of paper and pencil ready for questions 7 and 8. Let me start with number 1. What is silence? Number 2, what is legislative silence? Number 3, what passage teaches that authority is needed for every single thing we do? Number 4, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 5 bases an argument on what? Number 5, what are the 2 laws of exclusion? Number 6, which one of these 2 laws of exclusion is false? All right, number 7, write your answer down for this. Just a yes or no answer. So just write yes or no. When God specified sin, did that exclude mechanical instruments? Just yes or no. When He specified sin, does that exclude mechanical instruments? And number 8, when God specified fruit of the vine, did that exclude milk and coffee? Okay, so think about those. If you don't know the answers, look for them as we speak, and I hope that you'll understand why I'm asking those questions. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. This passage is a very important passage, and we looked at it last night. Notice what it says. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. Whatever. Notice that first word. Whatever. The dictionary says that means anything, everything. Whatever you do in word, that's what you say or teach. Whatever you do in deed, that's what you do or practice. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all, whatever, anything, everything. Again, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, which means by His authority. That expression, in the name of the Lord Jesus, means by His authority in Acts 4 verse 7, verse 10, and verse 12. So everything we do has to be authorized by either Jesus or one of His official representatives, the apostles. Now, if Jesus did not teach it, and if the apostles did not teach it, we are not allowed to do it because the apostles officially represented the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now, this authorization must be in written form. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. And so the authorization must be in written form. Now, all of the passages in the Bible that say, do not add to the word of God, all of those passages are verifying and confirming the fact that the Scriptures contain all that God wants us to know. And we're not to add anything to that because it is complete and thoroughly equips us for every good work. In Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in the book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life and from the holy city and from the things that are written in the books. Again, in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. But even if we or an angel from heaven, though we means the apostles. The apostle Paul is the writer here. And though we apostles or even an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed or cut off from God. Verse 9 repeats it. As we said before, so now I say again, if anyone, you hear that? He started off with we apostles and even an angel in heaven. Now verse 9, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. These passages help me to understand then that all that God wants me to know is contained in this completed book of Revelation. Now, let me draw an illustration on the board like this. I want this big circle. I want you to suppose that that represents God's entire will. Everything He wants us to know. The Bible says the Scriptures in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Scriptures are given by inspiration of God, and they make the man of God complete, thoroughly equipped, unto every good work. Now think about that. If the Scriptures make me complete and thoroughly equip me for every good work, then that means there is no good work outside of the Scriptures, because the Scriptures contain every good work. Now listen carefully. The Scriptures don't describe every work, but they do describe every good work that God wants us to do. Now, suppose somebody wants to do something or they start teaching something over which the Bible is silent about. Now, can they do that? Does silence permit or does silence forbid? Let's first of all define what we mean by silent. We taught last night and we noticed that the Bible teaches in two ways and only in two ways. It teaches either explicitly or implicitly. Now, if the Bible says something explicitly, that means you can turn to a passage and you can read word for word exactly what is being said. If the Bible teaches something implicitly, that means the Bible is teaching this doctrine indirectly. It's not directly saying word for word, but it is implying whatever is being taught. Now, silence means the absence of all explicit teaching and the absence of all implicit teaching. And so here is a thing that a person wants to do now, and the Bible is silent about. That means there is no Bible passage. And remember, the Scriptures represent God's entire will. Every good work is contained in the Scriptures. The Scriptures make the man of God complete, thoroughly equipped. Here's a thing a person wants to do and the Bible is silent about it. There is no Scripture that explicitly teaches this. And there is no Scripture that implicitly teaches it. In order to do this, we are going to have to add to the Word of God. And we are forbidden to add to the Word of God. Now, this kind of silence that forbids us from adding to the Word of God is called legislative silence. Legislative silence, listen. When the law is purposefully silent about an action, and that silence is viewed as expressing the intent of the lawmaker. Now that's important, so I'm going to say it again. Legislative silence is when the law is purposefully silent about an action, and that silence is viewed as expressing the will of the lawmaker. And so when God is silent about something, what that means is He is silent about it on purpose. If He had wanted us to do it, He would have either explicitly taught it or implied it. But when He was silent on purpose. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, we have consistent proof that when God is silent about something, that silence is significant. And He was silent on purpose. And His silence forbids us from practicing or teaching whatever it is He was silent about. Now let me offer you some scriptures to think about. First of all, I invite your attention to Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 5. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. For to which of the angels did He ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I shall be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." Here are two questions. What's the answer to these two questions? The first question is this. To which angel did God ever say, "You're my son, today I've begotten you"? What angel did God ever say that to? Oh, He never said that to any angel, did He? This is an argument based on silence. The next question is this. To which angel did God ever say, "I will be to you a father and you shall be to me a son"? What angel did God ever say that to? He never said that to any angel. He was silent about an angel being His son. And so if someone starts teaching that the Son of God was an angel, they are going to have to add to the Word of God to do that, because God was silent about angels being His son. We're forbidden. Silence forbids that. And there are people, they call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, and they teach that an angel became the Son of God. Did you know that? Yes. And we are forbidden to teach that doctrine because silence forbids. Now, Acts chapter 15, verse 22. Okay, this, Acts 15, let me tell you what's happening here. Some teachers had come from Jerusalem and traveled to Antioch. And they were teaching people up in Antioch, "Unless you get circumcised and keep the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. Doesn't matter if you've been baptized. Doesn't matter if you're a member of the Lord's church. You cannot be saved unless you get circumcised and start keeping Moses' law." And so they had this big discussion about this subject up in Jerusalem. All of the brethren went to Jerusalem and discussed this. And then a decision was made and a letter was drafted in Acts 15, verse 22. "It pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter by them: The apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. Since we heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying, 'You must be circumcised and keep the law,' to whom we gave no such commandment." You know what they're saying? They're making an argument based on silence. We never said anything explicitly about people having to be circumcised and keep the law. We never implied that either. We were silent. We said nothing. We gave no such commandment. It is forbidden then for anyone to start teaching you must be circumcised and keep the law. Silence forbids. No one has the right to teach that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, "In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." When we start taking the commandments of men and we start requiring it as if the commandments of men were divine legislation, our worship becomes vain and useless. In the same context, right after Jesus said, "In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine and commandments of men," in verse 13, he answered and said to them, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Leave them alone," or "let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and to blind lead the blind. Both shall fall into the ditch." Every plant my Father did not plant will be rooted up. Every practice, every doctrine that God did not plant. When He was silent on purpose. And anybody that starts planting a doctrine or practice that God did not plant, it will be rooted up. No one has a right to add to the Holy Scriptures one syllable. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." And that means if anyone's going to say anything, let them talk like the Bible talks. Don't add anything and don't take anything from it. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible says, "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers." They continued in what? The doctrine which the apostles taught. They didn't start continuing in things which the apostles were silent about. They continued in what the apostles taught. Now, let's take what we have learned. We have learned that silence forbids. We have learned that the Scriptures contain God's entire will. And we are not to add anything to what God said. Now, let's take a subject that has caused great controversy in the church, and let us examine and find out whether we should be doing it or not doing it. And I want to examine the subject of instrumental music. 9 times in the New Testament, there are passages where the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ praised God. And each time they praised God with music, we want to ask ourselves, were instrumental music, was it used or allowed? And that'll help us to decide whether or not we should be using instrumental music in our worship tonight. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 30. This is the first of 9 passages. I'm going to go through all 9 of them and let's see what they say. Matthew 26, verse 30. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." There's the first passage. What did they do? They sang a hymn. Now, what does it mean to sing? The word sing means to make vocal music. Okay? That's what it means. All right. What do we know now? We know that they made vocal music. If you were to ask me, "George, where is authorization? If we have to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus." If you ask me for authorization to make vocal music, I can give that to you. But what about mechanical, instrumental music? Does that passage, "they sang a hymn," does that explicitly say anything about instrumental music? No. Does it implicitly say anything? Does it imply? No. That passage is silent about mechanical instruments. But maybe if we keep on reading, we will come to some mechanical instruments in the New Testament worship. And so let's not give up. Let's keep on going. Maybe the New Testament is not silent. We'll keep on going and see. Next passage, Mark 14, verse 26. This is the parallel with Matthew 26, 30. Mark 14, 26, "When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Well, nothing explicit or implicit about mechanical instruments here. We do know they made vocal music. More than that, we don't know because the text didn't say. It was silent about mechanical instruments. And so if mechanical instruments is okay, we won't know it from these two verses yet. We're going to have to go on. Maybe another passage will show mechanical instruments. Let's look at the next one. Acts 16, verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They were what? They were singing. What is singing? Making vocal music. Now that's authorized. But more than that, can they use, were instruments of music used? Well, we don't know because nothing is explicitly or implicitly said in that passage. That passage is silent about mechanical instruments. No authorization yet. But let's go on. Maybe we'll find it in the next one. Romans 15, verse 9. For this reason, I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. Well, singing's authorized. But that verse is silent about mechanical instruments. So there's no authorization, either explicitly or implicitly. All we have is silence. But let's go on, because we're not done yet. Maybe we find mechanical instruments in the next one. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Authorization to make vocal music. But silence about mechanical music. Silence. No explicit or implicit teaching in that passage. But let's go on. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Okay, singing is explicitly authorized. Making vocal music, that's authorized. But mechanical music, nothing explicitly or implicitly taught in that passage. Next passage, Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Doing what? Singing, making vocal music. Silence about mechanical music. All right, look at the next passage. Hebrews 2, verse 12. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. I will what? In the assembly, I will sing. Make vocal music in the assembly. Now that's authorized. But mechanical instruments, the Bible so far has been silent. We have gone through 8 passages now. There's only one passage left that talks about the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ praising God with music. James 5, verse 13. Maybe we find instruments here. James 5, 13. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Let him what? Sing. Make vocal music. There it is. 9 passages, and that's it. Now, there are 3 passages in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, there are 4 living creatures in front of the throne of God who sing praise to the Lord. In Revelation 14, verses 1 through 3, there is 144,000 that have a special mark in their forehead, and they sing to God. And then in Revelation 15, verse 3, some angels sing. But now, as far as the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ singing on the earth, the 9 passages we just read, that's it. That's it. Now, is vocal music authorized? Everything that we do, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Is it authorized to sing, make vocal music? Yes. I gave you 9 passages. Is instrumental music authorized? No. All we have is silence. And if we're going to be true to the pattern, and we're going to be truly the church of Jesus Christ, continuing in the apostles' doctrine, speaking as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, then we're going to have to say instrumental music is wrong. Because to do it, we're going to have to add to the Bible, because they're not in the Bible. They're not in the New Testament, I should say. For this reason, for 600 years, people that called themselves Christians sang without any instrumental accompaniment. 600 years. When it was first introduced in 606 AD, it threatened to split the church wide open. And so it was suspended for a while. And eventually, the church did split about 1,000 years ago. And when the Greek Orthodox split off from the Roman Catholic Church, the Greek Orthodox to this very day does not use instrumental music. To this very day, they sing a cappella. A cappella, of course, means no musical accompaniment. A cappella literally means as done in the chapel or as done in the church. And that's the way they sing. But now, you know, instruments are so common that when people come to our services and they sit and worship with us, they're surprised that we don't have a piano at least. I have people ask me, is it because you can't afford one? They're willing to donate the money because they feel sorry for us. No, that's not the issue. The issue is lack of authority. All right, now here's the question I want to ask. What is it that is doing the forbidding? What is it that's doing the forbidding? Now, a long time ago, well, really not that long ago, a few years ago, I held to a position that said this: God said sing. And when He said sing, that excluded the instrument. And this law of exclusion is called the to specify is to exclude. Law of exclusion. To specify is to exclude. And I was teaching that the reason that it's wrong to use instruments is because God specified sing. Then I got to thinking about this. Now, I want you to suppose that through the door walks a Pentecostal preacher. And I'm picking on the Pentecostals tonight because they're popular for using all kind of instruments. You know, they have the piano and the organ and the guitar and the drums and the banjos. They got it all. Tambourines, everything. And so in comes the Pentecostal preacher, you see, and he's using all kind of mechanical instruments, and I'm going to argue with him and try to teach him that he should not be using those mechanical instruments. And I say, Mr. Preacher, you shouldn't use those instruments. And he says, why not? And I say, because God said sing. And he said, we do. Well, I reckon they do. But I say, wait a minute. The Bible said, make the melody in your heart. And he said, we do. I just lost the argument. They do. They do. Let me read to you something that G.C. Brewer wrote. You know the name G.C. Brewer? He's the bad guy that brought in individual cups into the church. But he said something interesting. Listen to what he said. Someone might say, I heard a mixed quartet sing Lead Kindly Light at William McKinley's funeral. Can anyone know from that statement whether the quartet sang a cappella or whether there was instrumental accompaniment. What is your guess, dear reader? Now, if the word sing includes the instrumental music, there would be no guessing about it. You would know that such music was used. Or, if the word sing excluded instrumental music, there would be no guessing. You would know that it was not used. But since the word sing neither includes nor excludes the instrument, you cannot know whether or not such music was used at McKinley's funeral. Well, you know what? He's right about that. Just because you heard someone say that quartet sang at the funeral, you can't tell from that whether there was mechanical instruments or not, from the word sing. All you know for sure is that there was some vocal music. Whether there was mechanical music, you don't know. Now, instrumental music is excluded not because God said sing. Mechanical instrumental music is wrong because God was silent about it. And silence forbids. That's why it's wrong. Now, there's two laws of exclusion. First, the to specify is to exclude law. And then, number two, silence forbids. This first law is wrong, although I did use it many times in the past, and many of our brethren still use this argument. It is wrong. Let me show you the danger. If to specify is to exclude, if that's true, the Bible contradicts itself. And we made it contradict. I invite your attention to Psalm chapter 149, verse 1. Watch carefully now. Praise the Lord, it starts off. Okay, stop right there. We're supposed to praise the Lord. And now this verse is going to go on and explain how to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and His praise in the assembly of the saints. How are they to praise the Lord? Sing. Now, I used to say to specify is to exclude. And since God said sing, Ephesians 5:19, that excludes mechanical instruments. Here, God said sing. And if to specify is to exclude, then that means mechanical instruments are excluded because He said sing. But let's keep on reading. Verse 2. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name with the dance. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and harp. Oh, there in verse 3, now there are mechanical instruments. Now, if to specify is to exclude, then the Old Testament just contradicted itself. Because it specified sing, and then it talked about instrumental music too. But you see, the Old Testament did not contradict itself. The problem is not the Scripture. The problem is the law. To specify is to exclude. The problem is with that law. It's not accurate. It's not truthful. Now, in the New Testament, God authorized vocal singing. Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16. When He said sing and make melody in His heart, in your heart to the Lord, He authorized making vocal music. That's all He did. If He wants to in another verse of Scripture somewhere, He can, without contradicting Himself, He can authorize mechanical instruments. And if He does that, He will not have contradicted Himself. All we're asking people is let's just keep reading through the New Testament. And if you find authorization for instrumental music, okay. But if there is no authorization, don't do it. Because we are forbidden to add to the Word of God. Silence forbids. Now, you know, the denominational world, they commit a very grievous error. Because they read John chapter 3 and verse 16. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. And they read that, believe. And they say, that's the only step of salvation. And if you want to be saved and go to heaven, all you have to do is just believe in Jesus Christ. And what do we tell them? We say, look, there's more to the New Testament than just John 3:16. Let's keep on reading. And if there are other steps of salvation that are required, then those are required too. And we go on and we find out that Luke 13:3 teaches repentance. Romans 10 verse 10 teaches confession. Acts 22 and verse 16 teaches baptism in water. And we're just simply saying to people, don't read just one verse and stop there, but keep reading and find all that God wants. Same thing with Colossians 3:16, Ephesians 5:19. God authorized sing or make vocal music, and if He wants to later, He could, without contradicting Himself, He could authorize mechanical instruments, but He doesn't. And when He is silent, He neither explicitly nor implicitly said anything about mechanical instruments. That's what forbids instrumental music. Now, to put it another way, suppose Ephesians 5:19 were not even in our Bibles. Suppose there was no sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. Suppose that was not even in the Bible. Would instruments still be wrong? Yes, they would. If they would still be wrong, then the command to sing had nothing to do with excluding them. What excludes the instrument? Silence. Silence forbids. When there is silence, there is no passage that explicitly teaches or implicitly teaches instruments may be used. When there is silence, there is no authorization. And everything we do must be authorized either by Jesus or His apostles, His official representatives. Colossians 3:17. And since there's no authorization for instruments, they're wrong. It's as simple as that. All right. What have we learned? When God authorizes, He must authorize either explicitly or implicitly. And if He does neither one, that's silence. Silence forbids. All right, now, let's make application. Number one, when God said fruit of the vine in the communion, that's grape juice. Matthew chapter 26:29, He authorized fruit of the vine. That's all He did. What makes milk and coffee and Coca-Cola, what makes that wrong? Is it the fact that God specified fruit of the vine? To specify is to exclude? No. If God wanted to, in another passage, authorize water or milk, He could if He wanted to, but He doesn't. The reason Coke and coffee and tomato juice is wrong is because God never authorized it. Silence forbids. Now, on your little piece of paper, when I asked you questions 7 and 8, when God said sing, did that exclude the instrument? If you wrote yes, you're wrong. When God specified fruit of the vine, if you said yes, that excludes milk, you're wrong. Silence is what forbids. Silence. Number two, when God explicitly said unleavened bread, Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 through 26, He authorized that. His silence is what makes cake and pizza and cheese and meat and anything you can think of. All of that is wrong because there's no authorization for it. Number three, when God specified cup, Matthew 26:27, He authorized cup. And His silence is what forbids cups. He could have, if He wanted to, He could have in another passage authorized cups. But He never did. And His silence forbids. And that's why individual cups are wrong. When God said sing, He authorized vocal music. Ephesians 5:19. His silence is what makes mechanical music sinful. Because we'd have to add to the Word of God to have mechanical instruments. When God explicitly said, come together in one place, 1 Corinthians 14:23, He authorized coming together in one place like this. His silence is what forbids dividing into Bible classes. He could have authorized that if He wanted to. And we're just asking brethren and people to look through the New Testament. And if He authorized dividing into classes, okay. But He doesn't. Silence forbids. Number six, God authorized a collection. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. He authorized that. He was silent about having rummage sales and yard sales and car washes. And that's why we don't have car washes and rummage sales and fish fries. Because God's silent about raising money for the church in all of those ways. When God authorized, number seven, He explicitly authorized a collection on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. And when He authorized taking up the collection on the first day of the week, He gave explicit instruction on the first day of every week. He did not explicitly say any other day. He did not imply any other day. That's why we're not taking up a collection tonight. And we're not going to take up one tomorrow night. We're going to do it on the first day of the week. One collection. On the first day of the week. A collection. Not two. One. Number eight. When God explicitly said, break the bread on the first day of the week. Acts 20:7. He authorized weekly communion on the first day of the week. And that's it. Doing it every day is not authorized because God was silent about daily communion. He was silent about yearly communion and semi-quarterly communion. He authorized weekly communion. And that's why on the first day of every week, we have communion every Sunday. Every Sunday. That's why it's wrong to have communion at weddings. It's wrong to have communion at funerals. It's wrong to have Christmas Eve communion. Because God never authorized that. If it's not authorized, if He's silent, it's forbidden. Silence forbids. Number nine, when God explicitly said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, He authorized that. He was silent about praying your way into heaven. He was silent about the sinner's prayer. He was silent about accept Jesus into your heart as your personal Savior and just pray. He was silent about all that. You can't read about that. He neither explicitly nor implicitly said that, and we are forbidden to teach that sinners can be saved by simply saying a prayer. Number 10, when God explicitly said that the innocent party can divorce their guilty fornicating spouse and remarry another, Matthew 19:9, He authorized the innocent spouse to divorce their fornicating spouse and remarry. He authorized that. He was silent about the guilty party remarrying. Silence forbids. And it is sinful for the guilty party to remarry. That's why. Number 11, when God explicitly said Church of Christ, Romans 16:16, He authorized the building and existence of the Church of Christ. But He was silent about man-made denominations, community churches, Bible churches, all denominational churches, and non-denominational churches. And His silence forbids the existence of all of these other churches. Silence forbids. We cannot add to the Word of God. We cannot. Now, before closing, let me just remind you, we're living under a New Testament tonight, not an Old Testament. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." The Old Testament was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. Christians do not follow after Moses, but instead in Acts 2 and verse 42, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. You see, we follow what the apostles taught because they are official representatives of the King. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. And everything we do must be authorized by Jesus Christ, Colossians 3 verse 17. So, if somebody tries to go to the Old Testament and bring instrumental music into the worship today because it was used in the Old Testament by David, what's going to stop somebody else from bringing in circumcision? Because David was circumcised too. What's going to stop another person from bringing in animal sacrifice? Or this person bringing in incense? They used incense in worship back in those days. Oh, and stoning sinners. Jewish food regulations. The seventh-day Sabbath. Worship only in the city of Jerusalem. And on it goes. Oh, if you let one bring in instruments because David used them in the Old Testament, people can bring in all of these other practices because they were used also. No. We must continue in the apostles' doctrine. And if the apostles did not teach it, we may not teach it either. We may not practice it. The Old Testament, we learn from it, we read from it, we learn from it. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. But we live by a New Testament. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. Now, when Moses went up on Mount Sinai that day, he received a pattern from God to make the tabernacle. In Hebrews 8, verse 5, Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain." A pattern is a blueprint. And what a blueprint says is important. But what the blueprint does not say is also important. We cannot start adding to a blueprint. And so let us follow the pattern that God gave for the church. Let us respect it. And let us not add anything to the Word of God, which makes the man of God complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let us not add anything which the apostles did not teach. Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. Silence forbids. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the Lord's church, the way you become a member is you take these steps, not just one of them, but all of these steps together. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." The Apostle Peter taught in Acts 2:38. If you're here tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel, there are the steps. This is all I'm authorized to teach tonight. I cannot take away from that, and I cannot add to it either.